Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. Really? It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we are back. It is,
oh my god, it's the first podcast after the Ren Fest.
Yeah, it has been,
I'm glad you qualified that with open.
It has been a weekend.
It's over? Fuck.
It's done.
It has
you spent
been
all that prep, James.
Yeah.
A weekend.
That's it.
Fuck.
Hey, who else is tired?
My voice is not where it normally is.
Yeah,
like
no.
It's not. I don't have a sore throat,
but
I can
down
feel
an
myself
octave, yeah.
Like straining just a little bit to maintain.
Oh, see, I this is the best time of year because I get to hit all those Barry White notes.
Whoa. does that mean you're suddenly
Isaac
sexier to your wife again?
Oh like, yeah, because my wife likes some sweaty and dirty.
Gross.
Covered in soot. Oh yeah. Anyway,
you know when I'm down to just my socks,
shit.
What time it is?
Time to do the laundry.
It's business time.
I have
you do
had,
business and only your
it's
socks.
Business time. They're business socks.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Like the Argyle.
But business
that's
casual.
They call them.
They're business casual.
Like the thin knit Argyle ones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's why they call them business socks.
I have had no energy at work. I seriously, like, just kind of half-dozed through work yesterday. It was just like, things are supposed to happen.
I was struggling to... I converted my desk to a stand-up desk
just
during
to stay
the morning
awake.
So that I wasn't, like, catching myself in the middle of typing too many S's and V's
God.
And stuff.
You know, Monday morning, I just laid in my bed.
That sounds great.
Well, I need booze.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Should we drink some of that then?
Yeah.
All right. What do we got?
Seagram 7 Stone Cherry.
This is from the Muds.
Yeah,
an American blended whiskey with cherry, citrus, and other flavors.
So we've got.
To be fair, my throat
whiskey.
Could probably use this right now. Mm. So.
Yep.
So all right.
Good Robitussin smell. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. That's got a little bit of the Robitussin, but...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Maybe it'll
now
just
that
trick
we,
my
I'm
going to
make a grown-up's cherry Coke.
Now that we have tasted
ooh,
that, let's...
I like it.
Let's try these with Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Dr. Pepper
I was about to
is...
say, James looks
Dr.
like
Pepper.
He's doing a Coke.
No, I mean, after you do the Dr. Pepper one, if
yeah,
you still want to
do
a cherry Coke later,
yeah, yeah.
Then you can. But Dr. Pepper, we need... This is for science.
Yeah. We need to test the universal
this is for science.
Mixer.
Speaking of for science, if you want to buy a t-shirt or any other brand of merchandise that says for science on it, you can go to our store.
Where is that again?
It's at society6.com/AONpodcast.
Oh my God.
We've
I
got
want,
all sorts of shit. It's
I
pretty
want
to cool.
do the True Stone thing right now.
Okay.
While James
yeah, yeah.
No, that,
because
I'm quite all right with that.
It ties into what I did for
quite all right
my
with
week.
That.
Captain America and Kirky
woo!
Came into town. They've
yep.
been away for quite a while, and so they came into town for the festival.
Riding on a pony.
And no, it was a car with a
riding on a
trailer.
Unicorn.
Trailer had a trailer. It was adorable.
Oh, I see. What,
yeah.
See what you did there.
Right.
I love the new Captain America trailer.
They're nice.
Thanks.
Anyway, so they were set to get in on. Was it Wednesday night?
I
think. I don't remember. It was either Wednesday or Thursday. But we had rain. We had lots. We had all of the rain.
It was wet.
It was so wet. And so it was
slow.
Downpouring. We had. Oh, you wanted the wet part, didn't you?
Sure. I mean, whatever, really.
It was all sorts of wet. So wet. So anyway, no, it was downpouring, and they were going. They are living in the campground for the next couple months.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a tent set up or anything like that, and they needed a place to crash for the night. And it was like, "Come crash at my place," which was delightful.
I'm sure
they
you said it exactly like that too.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
actually.
I imagine. Yeah.
But they came in just all wet. Because you can't park in my parking lot without a permit, so they had to like park on the street, and they had the trailer, so they had to park like way far away. So they're all like dripping, and
the poor little bedraggled muffins.
Bedraggled.
So adorable and sad. And I got him inside, and I had just gotten
down at Bedraggle Rock.
I had just gotten the pizzas delivered, so we had hot pizza for
them.
And I gave him some towels and like all of that. But the next morning is where I love hostessing. Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of my favorite things ever.
Like Little Debbie hostess,
Twinkie, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But the morning is where I really shine because not only do I have my little latte maker coffee machine thing,
mm-hmm.
I had the True Stone coffee.
Boom. Ooh.
And I made them Peru, like the Dark Roast Peru lattes.
Dang.
In-to-go cups if they wanted to just, if they needed to leave right away.
Sure.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
That's called doing it right.
Real well. And thank you, True Stone, for helping to make that happen.
Nice.
In fact, they had some. Kirky was like, because Kirky got hers first because she's the chick. I don't know. I like her better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's way hotter. To be fair.
She's
very good looking.
Yeah. But she was like, that's really good coffee. I'm like, yeah, I know, it's True Stone. She's like, of course it's True Stone. So, yeah, no, that just happened. if you, dear listeners, would like to get some True Stone coffee, you can have it roasted same or next day, I can never quite remember, but delivered directly to your door as fresh as humanly possible. You can go to truestonecoffee.com and order some coffee for yourself. And if you use the promo code, neither of you? Okay. Apropos!
But it's spelled apropos.
No, it's spelled apropos. That's why you pronounce it that way.
No, it's spelled just like the word apropos.
Which exactly how you would spell apropos if you knew how to spell the word.
It's apropos.
Yes.
It's spelled phonetically for apropos.
You can get 10% off of your True Stone order. The other thing I did with True Stone this week is I got my concentrate coffee.
And does it help?
I mean, I can't concentrate, but that's not the coffee's
okay,
fault.
Okay.
No, I've got the concentrate in my area for getting ready for Fest in the morning. And I just pour half of that into a mug and then half a thing of hot water.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's how I start my day out at Fest, because there is no other way to start your day out at Fest.
Nope.
So, yeah.
We'll take that back. There is another way to start your day out at Fest. It's the wrong way.
Yeah.
Mm. Nope, that's accurate. So, I just had a sip of the drink.
Oh, yeah, we should probably drink this.
I accidentally did it because I forgot that we had
to. To you, dear listener.
Yay.
Dr. Pepper wins again.
Yeah, it does. That's real good.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Dang.
It almost tastes like a cherry Dr. Pepper with whiskey in it. Like a whiskey cherry Dr. Pepper as opposed to a Dr. Pepper with the cherry whiskey. Curious, like it feels like the cherry is more of the soda than the whiskey.
Right.
I like it.
Well, it's got that sweet syrupiness.
Uh-huh.
Like you had taken...
It's got the sweet sap.
Mm-hmm.
You're a sweet sap. Yes.
Aw.
Face is
Oh, wait, that was nice. God damn it. I'm bad at this game.
Anyway, it has been a week of Renaissance Festival.
It sure as fuck has.
So let's hit that while the hitting's good.
Indeed.
James.
Yeah.
You are new on cast this year. You are rookieing it up.
I'm definitely rookieing it the fuck up.
How's entertainment treating you?
He didn't ask how good you are at it. He asked how it is treating you.
Yeah, it's cool. It's the same amount of work.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was talking to Riga,
mm-hmm.
our mutual friend Riga, who also used to work fencing booth, and he is like, I don't do anything. What? He's like, I stand.
He's stationed.
No, I know, yeah. but he's just there's like, that. I don't know. I've been busting my ass for 20 years, and now I'm just standing here talking to people as they walk by. And then they go in the pub.
Yeah,
and,
he was,
and
he
that's
was
that's
because...
all I do. And he's like, I'm. He was like, I had because I was talking to him the day before opening, and he was like, I only have a 1 hour break in the middle of the day, plus a couple bathroom breaks here and there. But otherwise, I'm on solid. And then I talked to him later, and he was like, all I do is stand here and talk to people, and that's and then they laugh and go into the bar. And he's like, this is so easy.
Yeah. Well, because imagine that the difference between
to his personality
very specific,
type.
Absolutely no. Which
also
is
specific
which
to
is
what
why
he
I,
did at the booth.
Which is exactly which is why I wanted your perspective.
Sure,
having worked in games, now going to entertainment, doing what you're doing.
Well, because Riga did everything that I did when I was at the booth, and he was also a manager. He was also a shift boss.
Exactly,
and he was also a champion.
Yep.
So he was doing everything that I was doing plus
27 others.
Plus twice again, more than what I was doing. So, this is definitely a break, from what he's been doing.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, he's stationary. He doesn't have to go look for trouble and make trouble. He just is trouble wherever he's standing.
But again,
that's kind of his problem.
That really is him.
But I
find him well.
I kind of knew all of that, with his perspective, which is why I kind of wanted to know you.
For me, it's a lot of the same thing.
Even or
because at the booth, when I wasn't ringmastering, I was doing my best to take over for people, cover breaks, and then also to entertain the patrons that were waiting.
Right.
Which is a lot of the same
It's
muscle.
Totally the same thing.
Yeah. Group. But it was also, I was hitting almost as many steps. Not quite, but
you,
I was...
You weren't going places, but... You know.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah.
You were walking in place.
Right.
Because you were stationary in one spot.
The thing is, I was hitting 10 to 11 miles a day at the booth. I'm hitting 14 to 15 now.
Sure.
And the difference is not a huge one. It is different in that I have a lot more leeway for shenanigans.
Oh shit!
A lot more. It's a lot more open ended as far as the type of bits that I want to get into.
I don't know that this was such a good idea, Salsa.
So, yeah,
probably not.
All right.
Yeah, but it also, some of my favorite things were things that you can really only ever do out in street, with the participation of other people. So,
yeah. Favorite moments.
My favorite moments?
Yes.
playing Circle Rock with
oh my God, that was ridiculous.
Fucking a dozen other people and then getting
with
patrons
Kitten
involved.
Bridges?
With
Kitten Bridges.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Question
Maybe?
Mark?
Beefcake and Olive?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Kitten Bridges.
Oh. Yeah. I was playing with Beefcake and Olive and Q.
Poet Boy.
And Pietro and Bella.
Yep.
And
aww.
Also
was your partner in crime there? Or,
yes, yeah.
Okay.
And also Wart, and I unfortunately don't recall the Irish personality's name of
shit.
Kayla's.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah.
I'm
but
bad at life.
Kayla.
Yeah.
And
Groundling.
And then
are they the Groundlings this year?
There, I don't know.
A stream of other people.
I haven't heard anybody reference them as the Groundlings this year.
No.
Oh, and Jake.
Oh.
Also.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
nobody
okay.
likes that guy.
I mean, anyway.
Yeah. There was that. There was, I got to do puppeting for the first time. I was
How
a giant
was
puppet,
that
and it was
for you.
Fucking
what
spectacular.
Did you play? Which one? Which one?
I was Sir Philip.
Obviously.
You were the knight?
Yeah, so that Kyle could be my squire as my spotter.
Lovely.
Yes. And I decided that the giant rocking horse was his horse because it was kind of almost the right size. Yeah. And then he spoke to all of the children.
That.
Well, about how magnanimous and generous and gracious he was to lend it to all of these children, and that his beloved horse, you know, and that they must have a good time as a result. That, you know, whatever. I hope that, you know, that you have a good time, since I'm kindly lending you this horse for your amusement. And whenever people would be like, oh, it's a giant puppet, let's get a picture with the giant fucking knight puppet. Yeah. And of course, Sir Philip, as far as I'm concerned, had decided that it was because he was so handsome.
Oh,
so
naturally.
that they
naturally
desperately needed a picture of his great beauty. And just, you know,
well, you are James Blunt, like that. Baby.
So that
I liked Pretty Boy myself.
Yeah.
That my first Vill round out at Fest. I got two consecutive days of Vill out at Fest, and it is spectacular.
Already graduated to second round.
And for my second day, it was my second round, so I got to use some of the insults that I was afraid I would not get to. And a ton of my friends just mysteriously showed up as patrons.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed up at my first show, too.
Yeah. That is excellent.
Do I know these friends?
Mr. Bear.
They are the Awfulcopter.
Yeah.
Oh, yay! Crew.
Yeah, Nathan Jay and...
I hate working special events. I never see anybody. It makes me sad.
Yeah, the Awfulcopter crew was out. They came to my first show.
Excellent. So some other people that I know, I all told like 7 or 8 people that I knew were in the audience for Sunday.
Nice.
And I had no idea. I knew that one person was showing up, and that was it. Nice. But then also a couple of bits with Kyle. As Wart and Gort,
I would hope you guys were doing bits together.
One of my favorites was there are a pair of rookies that are fairy catchers, but they're sort of dressed in very foresty forest spirit costumes.
Love this.
And Kyle decided that they were moving trees, and he just shouted at them, "Moving trees!" as they were like walking between, and then they instantly played along. And good on them.
Nice.
Good on them. And then later, when he and I were standing next to each other, he goes, look, moving trees. And they were already primed to play along.
Oh my
with
God,
his
yes.
thing. And then I just totally ignored them. As far as I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
And he would point at a tree that they were hiding behind. And you'd go, look, right there. And I'd go, yeah, it's a tree. It's not moving. It's right there. And he would go, no, look, it's moving now, as they were running over to another tree. And I would point back at the same tree, and I'd go, no, it's right there.
Yep.
It's and just, like, Abbott and Costello the shit out of that. Yeah, right, yeah.
It's like that.
Oh, of course, yes, it is moving, but it's the air. The air is moving the tree.
Wind, yes.
You go, no, it's that, it's this tree over here now. you know, of course, no, oh, okay, I understand what's happening. All right. It looks like the tree is moving because we're getting closer to it, but that's because we're walking. We're walking at it.
Yes.
So it looks like it's, you know, yeah.
I was returning from Gypsy Stage
Fuck.
At one point.
Yeah.
And as I passed the juggling school, those two went booking past the food booths and hid behind the tree right in front of like spinach pies.
Sure.
And all the way from the bear, I suddenly hear Kyle, "The trees are moving!"
Yep.
"The trees are... They're right over there! The trees are moving!"
Yep,
I'm not crazy. The trees are moving.
We rounded a corner, and we saw them. Just and they were just
bellowing.
Yeah.
He's bellowing at the top. You can hear him from way the fuck over there.
Yeah,
screaming about
the
trees moving.
Like the patrons all around us. They're just suddenly in incredibly curious about what the fuck we are doing. And they're instantly in on the bit because they look where we're looking and those two are over there just holding a pose next to a tree. And they get it immediately. It is a joke that everyone gets and it is instantly funny. And what I loved was after the, I think the second time, maybe first or second time that he and I had participated in that bit together, we were rounding, there's the little flat stage over next to the jewelers and the stocks and stuff, next to the ice cream place.
Troubadour.
Yeah, the Troubadour stage is next to the
Princess Garden.
Princess Garden, yeah. And they were walking through the little corridor next to the Princess Garden, and they were just walking and sort of talking normally and doing their regular fairy catching thing, which is their set of characters.
Yeah.
And then they spotted us at the same time we spotted them.
Yes.
And they were instantly in motion and like diving in behind a shrub. And Kyle's like, look right there. Look right there. There they are. There. I told you. You saw it. I'm like, I see a bush. It's like, it's just,
Yes.
Yeah. It was, and it's,
oh, great. That is so delightful.
It made me extraordinarily happy. And then being up on gate, having any business at all up on the gate during opening and closing. And my favorite was, we can't miss you until you leave.
Are you storing that fart for later?
I didn't want it to spill up the
So he's locked it in a cupboard. I think it's.
I had to fart. I can either fart in.
I appreciate
Salsa
that.
Salsa opened the door to the cupboard that is at his butt level, farted into the cupboard and closed the door.
You're always bitching about me smelling the place up, and I'm trying to be nice.
It doesn't smell, so thank you. But. That
at some point,
bizarre.
One of us is going to go into that cupboard for a drink and die. So
do farts ferment?
The alcohol will kill
that one.
Don't
will.
Worry.
Oh
yeah.
God, shit! It'll be yeasty, like rotten.
But yeah, just shouting shit at them. Also, not being able to maintain my composure around Matt Alex during.
Oh my God, the shushing.
The time. So we were singing "I'm on a Castle."
I'm on a castle.
Doom, 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 doom. And we were singing it super, super loud, and I guess we were drowning out another group, which, I'm sorry. It's not our intention to fuck up somebody else's performance. Right. And they're on a stage nearby. We didn't realize that we were
that
stepping on their fucking feet. There was
15 of you fuckers up there.
And they, we were drawing a crowd, and we were drawing a crowd away from them. So, good on them, I understand. But then, the so entertainment the coordinator came over and she was like, all right, okay, last verse, all right, because somebody's trying to perform. And then we just decided that the new bit was being as quiet, as loudly quiet as possible.
It was so delightful.
So anytime, as we were waving or something, I'd be like, shh, you're waving too loud. Super super loud stage whispering, bye, bye, everybody, bye, bye. For probably a half an hour.
About that, yeah.
And just,
there was another reason she shushed you.
Oh?
By the way.
What's that?
My mother-in-law. She'll probably be able to weigh in on this better than I. But she had her gate shift near the end of the day at that point.
Oh yeah, she
and
was,
apparently
yeah,
from below, inside the little portal right under where you guys were. Apparently, it was a little terrifying.
Oh,
because that front gate, by the way.
Fair.
For those of you who don't know, it looks like a pretty impressive structure. That thing is going to fall apart.
It's made out of popsicle sticks.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess the stomping and the banging, she was apparently terrified that it was just going to collapse around her.
Legitimate, yeah. So
she called Chrissy under. She was just like, come here, because I guess it was fine if you were standing on either side, but she was like, come here and stand under it.
For that bit, I was standing outside of it, and I didn't see
but if you stood
wrong.
Under it, apparently it was like the world was going to cave in on you any second. So they were like, we're going to cut.
Your mother-in-law is wonderful, and we don't want her to die.
Oh, we love her.
Good.
Yeah. She brings us booze and fast fives and all the
I know,
things.
Right?
And she's always very smiley and nice and huggy, so
sweet.
That's great.
No, she's marvelous.
During the shushing.
But during the shushing, like, that became the new bit, was to shush each other loudly and obnoxiously. Mm-hmm. And then I did not know that the king is apparently an owl, according to rumor.
I think that's primarily a Jake Pietro
series. Yeah, that he's a series of owls wearing a cloak. The yeah,
it's
a
devoured all of the other owls,
right,
and gained their powers.
Yes, yeah. So he's the Owl King, and so I didn't know why it was the joke. I just knew that I liked this joke, and. Yeah. I'm enjoying this joke when...
Don't ask why.
Right, no.
You don't want to know sometimes.
Pietro did tell me what had happened, but then I'm just laughing about it and going along with it when I think it was Aiden or somebody spoke up and was like, well, why is he an Owl King? How do you know? And Matt looks over and goes, what, you've never seen him barf up a mouse skeleton? And I'm trying to be quiet... That fucking broke me. And I went diving for the other side to laugh, like almost like I was throwing up. I was laughing over the other side of the thing, which he saw me go down and just like done. And that made him laugh. And then we're both trying not to laugh because we're trying to be quiet.
Right.
But it's immediately funny.
Oh, yeah. And now everybody's
it's a giggle stack.
Fuck. Yep. So that was really good.
Delightful.
And so now, what, you've never seen him barf up a mouse skeleton is...
Yep.
That's in there. And it was just in that very like sly, casual Matt Alex kind
very
of way.
Matter of fact,
yep. So that was really good, and
I loved during the shushing because I was down on the ground while this menagerie of idiots and fools were on top of the gate. Tell me I'm wrong.
Menagerie of idiots and fools is the title of my biography.
Oh yes,
like that.
They are all idiots and fools that I love dearly.
Oh.
Like Aiden played me a love sonnet from up there. That was delightful.
Yeah. I liked doing the awful. The sea shanties was really good too.
Oh, that was super fun.
Yeah.
So I did like some dancing and stuff down below, and did a little bit of interacting, but mostly tried to encourage other people to interact because that's way more entertaining to me. So they're doing the shishing thing, and Laszlo comes by, and I'm just like, Laszlo, you need to fuck with these guys because you can do it in only a way that you can do it. And so Laszlo's like, Laszlo says something like, just like, hey guys, but really loud, and everybody's like, shh, 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 quiet. And he's just like, what? Shh, we need to be quiet.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Like, just, and consistently like being that, god, I didn't know, but still consistently fucking it up the entire time.
Yep.
It was so pretty.
Lovely. I didn't get, I was busy trying to figure out my stage situation and my backstage situation because the stage I'm on doesn't have a backstage. It's literally in the middle of the lane. So there's no backstage. So where am I going to put my stuff and what my schedule is and how am I getting to all of the special events and things like that. So the first weekend I didn't get on the street at all. My first weekend was just trying to figure things out for the most part. Mm-hmm. But I'll get out and play a little bit more as the run progresses. But Ville for me opening weekend was so goddamn fun. I am partnered with Lori this year, and she and I we've partnered with each other on random draw days and stuff many times over the years, and we've always meshed well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we were like, let's do this thing. And we just, first day, we just hit it just like we've been doing it together for years. You know, we just, we hit first day and didn't even look back. We both days that we vilified, we just killed it. And God, it felt good to...
Well, she had to be better than that one partner you had.
I know, that guy was terrible. God. That salsa guy was rough. Oh.
No, the one you had.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, my partner was pretty shitty, your partner too, don't get me wrong.
Awful.
Oh, my God, he was fucking horrid.
But no, that was... It was a lot of fun. But
no, yeah, you guys, I can just, like, again, I didn't get to see it because mm-hmm. I'm busy doing a feast at that point, but like I can just picture it, and you guys are amazing. Although I like the team name that you guys can't use.
Oh God.
Well, I wish. What? So yours is your current team name is
Utter Bolshevik,
which is tremendous,
isn't it?
It's fantastic. It's not as good as the other one.
The name that Lori came up with that we wish we could use is the cunt for Red October.
And but apparently you can't say the cunt word out at festivals. Right?
It's so lame.
Oh, which cunt word?
The one with the C.
Oh, yeah, the C with, cunt
yeah,
word.
Yeah. Yes, that you can one. Say cunt, the philosopher. Cunt. That's right. That's fine.
Yeah.
Or you can pronounce the very dance, English actually. or Bostonian cunt.
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 Yeah.
Because then it sounds like can't.
No, we can't.
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 Yeah.
No, the eh sound doesn't really exist in German.
Yeah.
It's
the cunt word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, I love that team name.
Yeah, so I do wish. But Utter Bolshevik is pretty good. I am fond mm-hmm. of Utter Bolshevik.
Yeah. By the way, your daughter beat me again.
Of course.
Oh yeah,
are we surprised by this at all?
No.
She's so good.
I don't get to do Ville this year because I have to do the first feast. Like sure. like straight yeah, up, yeah. I am solid primary, have to be there.
Yeah.
But what I did love was all of the rest of the day on Saturday. Like four or five people came up to me and was like, "So your daughter's the girl, right? The young one." I'm like, "Hey, yeah." She's really good. Like, you weren't lying. Yep. She is really good. I'm like, I know, right?
Were you in a bathroom at the time?
I wasn't.
Because that's where everybody tells me. That's when it happens to me.
I really want that to happen to you again. Like, you come out of a biff after a shit.
Yeah. No. I just hear, like, a knocking on the wall. Hey. Hey, you guys were funny, but that girl is way better than you. Yeah, thanks. Is there paper on your side? Fuck, I'm just going to get used to it is the problem.
Yeah. What else? It was fucking uncomfortable.
It was
on
super.
Sunday.
Because of the heat or because
of the
awkwardness?
Of the humidity.
Oh.
I really fucking humid like... and it was still. There was no air movement.
I feel
movement.
Like I had yeah, a worse so... time on Saturday.
Really?
Sunday to me was warmer, but, and it might be just because of my schedule where I end up being, I had a lot of cooler spots.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was it, but like, I felt like, I really, for me, Saturday was the hard day, especially towards the end of the day. Whereas Sunday, like, I feel like I got more of a chance to acclimate.
It's possible. Sure. But yeah, no, it both days it was... in the upper 80s in percentage humidity.
Yeah, but it was so like, it was just about 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, 2 the o'clock
the usual
on
crowd
Saturday.
Coming in.
Because it was before a wine show where we just got hit
right.
with this humidity and it was like, oh my God.
No, but I feel like there was still enough people there and things going on.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it was adrenaline that just kept you going. Whereas Sunday, there was nobody there on Sunday. Sunday, it was a ghost town. And I mean, to the point that some like special events and stuff, a lot of special events got canceled.
Yeah, there was no wine
just because there wasn't
Sunday.
Enough people there. And so I think I personally felt like because I didn't have that crush of people giving you energy back, it was just this slog.
Right.
It was just like the heat and the humidity were sucking the energy out of you, and there was nobody there to give it back.
Yeah.
It was so
I had a great time Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And I think it's because, like, once I'm done with the second feast show,
mm-hmm.
I'm done with my special events. So I actually have a few hours to go out onto street and play, which isn't – that's not my Saturday. My Saturday I've got 3 feast shows plus the wine show plus mm-hmm. – you know, half the time we have like a wedding or something else that we're dancing for.
Yep.
Yeah, like, so I get, like, a little bit of time in the morning, which, fuck it, we're all waking up. Like, yeah. You know. And then I've got Sunday afternoon to go do street. And I miss street sometimes, mm-hmm. like, a lot. But, like, my schedule is spaced out just enough to where I don't have any good solid time to go out. So, yeah, Sunday afternoon, that's my time to go play. So it's possible it was just because I was hungry for some street time.
That's possible, yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh, God, somebody interact with me. But I also had some pretty mm-hmm. solid interactions. I also went to closing, to the gate area towards closing. Mm-hmm. And I pulled out my hung drum.
Yeah.
And I got to play,
I heard Smoke on the Water.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
Here's my favorite. I played Smoke on the Water on my metal hung drum. So it was playing metal.
Tape.
Like, straight up, plain metal.
Wow.
Yeah. Kyle would be proud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to play with that a bit. But then I also just, like, once it started to get drizzly, I was like, I don't want this thing to rust.
Yeah.
That costs way too much money. So I ran it back to Bed Manor, and then I came back out again because I was having fun. And I just got to do interactions, and I got people to shimmy at me, which is my personal favorite bit because mm-hmm. I just point and I go, you shimmy.
Yep.
And then either they do it or they don't, but it's entertaining to me. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I got to stop some children from crying, and I also made one kid cry.
Yay! So that was a thing, but equilibrium.
There was this one kid at the end of the day. Like, I tried to play with him, and he started, like, hiding behind the parent. And I'm used to that. Like, usually I can do the shy thing and kind of mm-hmm. poke out and get them to warm. He didn't warm up to me, but he didn't keep hiding either. He ended up just fucking staring me down, which was infinitely better than any other experience I had with a kid. Like, he was still holding on to mom, but it was it was like this little Scotsman boy too. And
I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, he was just staring me down and, like, kind of hiding, but kind of not. But just, and I'm like, this is the best ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
But my favorite moment Sunday night, just out of sheer ridiculousness, was, and I posted this to Facebook, so the listeners that follow me there. But I was down there, and about 15 feet away from me, there was, like, a group of, like, four or five patrons chanting, do it, do it, do it, do it. And, like, then they kind of just peter out, and I'm like, well, this bears further investigation.
Oh.
So I go over, and I start chanting, do it, do it, do it, do it. And then I stop. So what are we doing? And one of the drunkest ladies on the face of the planet, or at least the face of the festival, which may very well be the face of the planet, is like, well, this guy's going to tell you he likes your breasts. And then there's this awkward pause. Do it, do it, do it. Like, I'm cheering him on. And the ladies are fucking eating this up. And this poor guy is just like, like, you can see him go red because he knows how drunk his friends are and how encouraging they are, like, of all of this shit. And he's just like, I know this is not appropriate, even in this situation.
It's a trap.
It is a trap, and there is no good way out of this. Yeah, he didn't do it.
Lame.
So, I mean, I don't blame him,
right.
But at the same time, once I'm shouting at you to talk about how awesome my breasts are, like, go for it, you know, have at. I mean, I already know what you think they told me, so... eh? but yeah. Also, I'm still delighted every time somebody compliments my breasts, because for such a long time I didn't have them, so... They are delightfully perky for somebody old enough to be a grandma.
Indeed.
Mm.
I have been doing a couple festivals here and there. That, you know, Janesville and Ren of the Glen and stuff like that, but none of them have the same schedule as this one.
Yeah.
Like, right. The other ones I'll do three or four shows a day. On Saturday I did seven, you know. So yeah, it's a lot of work, and it means my throat gets put through its paces. And mm-hmm. by the end of the run, it's used to that.
right.
kind sure. of abuse. But at the beginning of the run, yeah, by the time Sunday afternoon rolled around, my throat was feeling pretty raw.
I remember you showing up to work on Monday, like, you were Henry Kissinger, Dr. Henry Killinger for a little while.
Yeah, but and my throat, like, by Monday night, my throat was fine again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, I was, you know, feeling it. My throat was tired is really what it came down to. And when when my throat gets tired... that's when, and if Matt was here, he'd be cringing, but that's when, like, especially with that katana or with the pool cue, that's when I start, I'm not able to position things just right. And, and your throat is surrounded by rings of cartilage.
Yeah.
And if you don't get things lined up and loosened correctly, then whatever you're putting down there hits each and every one of those rings, and it kind of washboards down.
Yeah, that's as not it goes just a Matt thing. That just
Okay, that's fair enough. But Matt would be really losing.
Yeah,
his
no,
right
he'd,
now, but,
he'd be hiding in a corner. Right now.
But that's kind of where I was at by Sunday afternoon, where I was just everything was scraping bad, and by the time I got to feast on Sunday afternoon. Even the drop was just like, this is not going down smooth.
I actually saw you during the Sunday feast show, and like you usually do the gulpy thing, and it just drops right through. Yep. And that didn't happen.
It dropped about 4 inches, and then I had to convince it the rest of the way.
It was at least 4.5 inches. Okay. Also, don't sell yourself that short.
But I had to.
Don't underrate yourself, Judge. Yeah. You're a tremendous slouch.
I actually had to use my hands to push it all the way in. Sure. Because my throat was just done. And like by second or third weekend, my throat will be used to that kind of abuse. But this opening weekend, it was just like, ugh. I was at that point. I was completely okay when some of the special events were canceled.
Right.
Because it was just like, you know, yeah, I'm losing money on that, but at the same time, I'll take the
Sometimes you pay for a little comfort.
Yeah, little bit. So
I'm told that this is very usual for opening weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm not used to being out in the lanes for it.
We usually don't have that huge a Saturday followed by that dead a Sunday.
Right.
Like that.
Because that really was very lopsided for the opening.
That was extremely lopsided. It's usually a lot more even where Saturday and Sunday are halfway between where those two of those were for both days. This was a weird swing.
You know, I've had some days where I was a little front-loaded.
I mean, these things happen. But
yeah, that guy was going to compliment you on it.
I know, right?
That was my opening weekend was just raw.
I also had similar with my hands, just with the sheer amount of drumming it's not my throat, though, so I feel like I don't get to bitch about it that much. Like... Man, my hands are really sore after all of that drumming.
That's that because I've absolutely done that. Do you wake up the next morning and your hands are just like
slightly throbby?
Yeah. Your joints are all swollen up. Yeah.
Although it didn't help. One of the other things that I did Sunday night was I did my spin grovel, which that is my signature move, by the way. I'll spin around and then I drop. And I've got, like, because I always wear the full circle skirt, so, like, I've just got this circle skirt around
me. It pools very nicely.
And the way that I drop, it always looks like I'm just, like, crumpled to the ground and, like, I've hit myself. Jessa actually asked me after. She's like, is your head okay? I'm like, why? She's like, it looked like you hit your head. I'm like, no. But I did.
It does look like you've just been shot. It really
It really does.
Mid-curl.
Yeah. Done. But I did hit... the pad of my thumb pad against a rock and I bruised the inside, which felt incredibly awful against the throbbing heat of having been drumming for all weekend. Luckily I didn't have any more drumming to do, but I was just like, oh god, which of these is worse? I don't know. I think it was the heat.
Just started doing something this year that is helping me with a lot of my usual ailments and that kind of stuff. And that
homeopathy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, just the regular kind.
Heteropathy?
No, just the regular kind.
Taffy?
Yeah.
Salty taffy.
I've met taffy.
Taffy would compliment my breasts.
Yes, yes, he would.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure he has repeatedly. I'm trying to think of a time where I've had an interaction with him and he hasn't complimented
me. I felt so good because the first time I saw Taffy on Sunday, I walked up to him and I picked his pocket and I just, it felt like I was home.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Taffy and I have an interesting relationship.
Yeah, I gather that.
Picked his pocket, handed it to him. No, it was like, okay, now everything's okay again.
Oh my god, yes.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, we can do that.
All right, let's do that. We're gonna be back, and then we'll probably talk about Fest. Stop it! Stop it!
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
Do we have anything to talk about, or do we just want to keep talking about Fest?
I mean,
I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if I have other things to talk about other than Fest.
Yeah, I mean,
I made Jess's costume.
Yep.
That's a really good costume too. She looks swank.
That was the point. So yay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
she also seems like she's super comfortable.
Yeah. She seems so happy wearing women's clothing. It's like this is her, you know? Like,
are you thinking about the pre-vill thing?
Yes.
What happened pre-vill?
We're hanging out.
Is this appropriate for the podcast?
It may not be.
All right.
Hold please.
Boom.
And we're back.
And we'll never tell that story again.
No. Erring on the side of caution.
Yeah, no, I mean...
I try to respect my dog.
No, that is... It was skirting the edge, but
skirt.
It was an extraordinarily funny moment that she...
But you'll never hear it.
Aww.
No.
You literally had to be there.
I burnt myself.
Again?
Twice.
Aww.
Once on Saturday, once on Sunday.
More than just the pizza.
I burnt my tongue on Saturday and my hand on Sunday. I have a scar on my tongue.
Yeah.
When I was, I want to say like 5 years old, I was playing on a bit of farm machinery that I shouldn't have been playing on. And we saw my dad driving home. And down the road, and we saw him arriving, and we jumped off of the farm machinery that we weren't supposed to be on, and I bit through my tongue.
Oh, wow.
Sliced it open real good. I had stitches on my tongue, and ever since then, I've had a weird lump on my tongue, you know, from the scar.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah, indeed. But because of the scar and the way it was stitched and stuff like that, it's better than
mine. Well, yeah, I was going to say.
But because of that, I've had a little kind of scarry flap that sticks up, and I burnt that.
Most guys have a scarry flap.
But because it sticks up a little higher, that's what I burnt really bad.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to laugh, but I'm still laughing.
It's fine.
Sorry.
No, like
it's
I took
not
a
the injury. It's
no, yeah, I took a picture of my tongue just to see what the damage was, and it was just this bright white circle.
Sure.
I burnt my tongue pretty good.
So how did we manage this?
I mean, it's already better. Like
no,
whatever.
how did we manage this?
I ate a torch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometimes you just burn yourself doing fire stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Like because it's fire.
I would have assumed that this would be no. It makes how did you burn yourself? I put something burning in my mouth. Oh, fair.
Yeah,
all right.
Like that's
yeah. That's
I don't good. Understand the question.
I accidentally branded myself. How? With a brand.
I stuck a torch in my mouth and it was hot and it burnt my tongue.
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
What happened?
Like it's not like he did it wrong. He just thing.
Yeah.
I think what happened is if you have a like a thread sticking out on the torch,
Sure.
it will because it's just this tiny thread, it'll actually get white hot and it'll start to burn.
Sure.
And that's a very hot point, and I think that's what tagged my tongue.
Gotcha.
So that was your actual question, right, yeah. James?
Yes.
Okay.
I was asking.
I just had to give him shit.
No, I agree. I fully understand.
Whereas, but Taffy wasn't out on Saturday, but so on Sunday he was out.
His wallet was.
Yes,
he wasn't.
I stole his watch, not his wallet. Thank you very much.
Well done.
I know, right?
Tish.
So he.
But I'm Tish.
So the torch tube that I have that I made. The bottom isn't completely flat. The bottom is it has kind of divots, on the inside on the bottom, just because of the cap I used, it has these kind of divots in it. And so when I drop a tube in there, what'll happen sometimes is the point will kind of stick out a little bit.
Okay.
You know, the fabric will kind of come to a peak as opposed to being flat across the top.
Right.
Because the edges are being pushed down.
Yeah.
And so it'll kind of mound up in the middle. And so on Sunday, in the middle of the show, I looked down and my torch had kind of peaked a little bit. And so what I had done in the past is I would just kind of put the bottom of the torch head against the other torch handle and just kind of gave it a little tug to kind of flatten things out again. Well, I did that on one of the torches, and the head popped off entirely.
Oh.
Boop, and landed on the ground.
Oh, my God, like when you're playing with dandelions as a kid, and you, like, do the
Yeah, and then you little pop the head off. It just went, the head boop, off. And so the torch head just went, boop, and it plopped onto the ground.
Sure.
And so Taffy and I both looked at it, and then I go, well, put it out, because for the show, he's my bitch, you know. I treat him poorly,
right?
You know, for comedy. So I'm like, we'll put it out. And so he gets down there.
God damn it!
You know, he's blowing on it, just sputtering at it, and I reach down and I grab it with my hand and I pick it up and I extinguish it in my hand.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit on my hand. That was it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not bad, but enough to go, that was warm. For probably the same reason, there was probably a burning thread sticking out. But
yeah.
I am glad that you're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, as okay as you were before.
Yeah, I
kind of care, but
yeah.
I know the kinds of things he's talking about, so it's like, eh.
My last stage show when I was swallowing the katana for the second time on Sunday, that was the point where I was like, I don't know if this is going to go to her. Because that felt really rough. Like, I felt every cartilage ring in my throat on the way down. It was just like, oh.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, like, I can watch him do this entire act, and I can probably watch him do the katana, but that's still, like, the curvature of the katana, it freaks me out a little bit. It
freaks me out a little bit, too.
Well,
yeah.
All right. So appropriate freakage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's not smart.
I haven't seen the katana.
It's not smart.
Because I've only seen you do the Feast of Fantasy.
It's...
Which, by the way, I love that there's a thing that you eat there that you don't eat anywhere else.
Yeah.
That's possibly my favorite thing ever. And I'm not telling you guys what it is. You are going to have to come.
You have to go
ticket.
To a special event for that.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know that, like, thinking about the katana going down eyes, just like a dental pick down my vertebra. Just
yeah.
Stop making the noises.
Oh, as the season goes, I will be adding more and more stupid shit to my act.
Yes,
I have plans.
Stupid plans.
It's going to be so dumb. It's going to be so dumb.
What you do is already so dumb.
It's going to be worse.
It's pretty dumb.
This is the thing. I'm going to be taking an existing sideshow feat and making it really dumb. Like, I don't know if you're familiar, dear listeners. I know you both are.
Sure.
But dear listener, I don't know if you're familiar with Oops the Entertainer. But he actually went to, like, Coney Island Sideshow School.
Shit, I do know the thing you're talking about.
Like, he went to Coney Island Sideshow School. Like,
yeah.
Dude is fucking sideshow. He knows this shit. He does a lot of this shit. And I told him my idea, and he went...
Oh.
So even he was cringing, so I know I'm on to something here.
Oh, my God.
That's... So, I'm not going to tell you what it is in case this doesn't happen, but it's
no,
going
to
be...
Or in case it does happen and he doesn't want us to be... Yeah.
Here's a tease, the thing about witnesses. A thing that may or may not happen. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much my dating life.
Yep.
So Friday mm-hmm. night, let me just describe to, cause listeners, you might not know a little bit about what happens behind the scenes.
Are we pulling back the curtain?
We are. No, I mean,
boom.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's it. Yep. That's the noise that happens as I get into bed. And then that's the noise that happens once I'm there.
Oh, my God. My new bed is so good.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. It's the best.
What do you have?
So, at Die Laughing, young Eric had a cot.
Oh, you got the... Yeah.
And he recommended a cot. And I was going to buy it from Amazon, but I found a place that sold essentially the same product very close so that I could have it Friday night. And I bought an XXL cot.
Yep.
Which is wide enough for two people to spoon.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it holds 600 pounds so that two people can comfortably sleep on it. And I got two sleeping bags that zip together to make one very large sleeping bag. And I got two little camp pillows so that when I'm sleeping by myself, I can double them up. And I put one of those self-inflating thin air mats on top of the cot.
Nice.
Number one, all my shit just goes straight under the cot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like all of my bags and stuff, they just
boot
straight under. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which is the best idea.
Yep.
One. Two.
Space saving.
Oh my God, that is comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have just the XL. I don't have the XSL. So it is enough for two people, like myself and Bill, could...
Right,
spoon
but you're like half a person as far as size and weight. I
mean, okay, but no, it was possible for the both of us to cuddle on that thing. And yeah, I don't have the padding. I had gotten some padding for myself.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't big enough.
Yeah,
for what I had, so it went on Jess's cot instead. So she's got a swanker setup than I do, but. But yeah, the space and the cot and oh my God, cots.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, don't get me wrong. I like a good air mattress, but it's gotta be a real good air mattress. It can't be the kind that just starts to slump halfway through.
So,
well, cause I had a terrible experience last year with mine, with my air mattress.
Ooh.
Cause I bought a kind of a modestly priced air mattress.
No, you need the one with the, like the, what are they called?
The little springs. Coil things.
Yeah, the coil spring.
And
it was
comfortable and it stayed well inflated for that time. It wasn't until Die Laughing that it started to be shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cuddling with somebody, and because of the way that the platform is set up, if you roll against the wall, the air mattress can't touch the wall, and if you roll against the wall, you're gonna fall. Between the wall and the platform. And where my setup is on the platform, that's like a 6 or 7 foot drop down to the ground below at the base of the platform. And I woke up suddenly and I realized that I had grabbed onto her arm and that she was halfway off the air mattress.
Oh my God.
On the wall side. And so my promise to her was that I would have not that this year.
Good.
Well done.
We got one of those. I don't remember who we got it from, but we got a one of these Sleep Number box springs.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's like a plastic frame that that it's a box spring basically that breaks.
Is that kind of just locks together?
It breaks apart into a bunch of different pieces that all fit in the back of our car.
Nice.
And we put it together, and we've got a box spring, and then we put a futon mattress on top of that.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we put an air mattress on top of that.
Oh my
god. And that's what we sleep on. So even when that air mattress in the morning, even when that air mattress is deflated a bunch,
I don't know how still have firm enough. Your air mattress is, but I'm rigid.
It's
taken us many, many years to figure this out, but these were my work pants. Yeah, that's a pretty good. We wake up pretty comfortable. Okay, so apparently this is what we're talking about the campground.
I'm fine with that.
I was actually going to talk about my Friday night. My original plan had been to set up because I am a part of the. A solid core of Feast of Fantasy. I have a space in Bad Manor for my stuff, for getting ready in the morning and things like that. And my original plan had been to get there Saturday before Fest open and get all of that set up, and then but Saturday of Fest Saturday before did
best
not happen.
Plans,
I had other things that just a series of unfortunate events. So. Then I ended up getting everything set up Friday night, the day before opening, which would have been fine, except that we had had all of that rain. So I couldn't get my car onto site to unload it.
Yep.
So I was like, great, I guess I'm just hauling tubs up to the Bad Manor. But then I ran into somebody, one of my Sigan A castmates, who was about to head up, and she had a hand truck.
Nice.
Ooh. And I was like, can I walk up with you and then also maybe use that when you're done with it? Yeah, she's like, I've only got this one load. And I'm like, sweet, because I've got like four. Because I have an awful lot of costuming and props and things like that.
Drums
that I just spare costuming that I've collected over the years that are just available for people if they need it, kind of stuff. so
I'm gonna do villain a dance bra.
I can actually
I'm
hook
do villain
you up
a dance
one.
Belt.
I have in fact. Well, I mean that's not a bad idea, but I mean not for you, but in general, no. I do actually have a top that has been worn by like Porter, so there are pieces if you ever feel the need to belly dance it up.
No one wants that
final day, man.
Nobody wanted Porter either, but it happened. So anyway,
maybe for fire me.
All right, we'll talk later.
Yeah,
indeed. I'm sure I've got pieces for you. So. Anyway, so I'm hauling things up
over the armor.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes.
Oh my fucking god.
Right. Oh my god.
All right.
A fucking jingle belt over the top.
Oh my god. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Stop talking about it.
I've got other ideas.
We got to talk about this off air. Off air.
Off air. Off air.
Save it.
Shit. Shit. We're gonna forget this. Anyway.
Dear listeners, remind us about this thing we're not going to talk about.
Anyway, so I'm carting things up with this hand truck in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
And it's muddy.
Yeah,
like you do.
And my nighttime vision is really good. But sometimes you'll get pockets of light and then sudden darkness, and that fucks with you. So I'm in this pocket of light. And I step out of this pocket of light, and I trip over a rock. And when I say trip over, it was a boulder. It was like one of, like, not the, like, over by Como Cottage. They've got all of those rocks over there. It was one that wasn't a part of the rest of the group.
Yeah,
like, it's the loner
I know
boulder.
Which one you're talking about.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. No, and when I say tripped over the rock, I mean, I ran into it and actually, like, completely my entire body went over this boulder.
Wow.
I scraped my knee. I've got bruises on the other leg. And I'm like...
I fell down the stairs.
No, I tripped over a boulder. But the handcart was fine, so...
Oh, good.
Like, I was concerned because it wasn't my handcart. But yeah, so the next morning I wake up a little extra sore and I'm like, you should not start your first festival weekend already battered and bruised. Like, that's a bad way to do it.
Yeah.
But they are some lovely fucking bruises. I tell you what. They're beautiful shades of yellow and purple. I love it. I like a good bruise, and that's weird. Like, I just like looking at them. Like, I'm fascinated kind of by them.
Satisfying, you know? About like, being wounded.
Yeah, bitches, I did that.
Just like, there's something. I don't even think it's masochism. I think it's just like fascination. Or
it really
like,
is. It's science happening to your body.
Look at what I have done.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Something in there.
Hmm.
Anyway, but yeah, so I got everything set up that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a near thing, but I was in fact technically prepared for the weekend.
Well, that makes one of us.
Yeah.
No kidding. I was still, like I said, figuring out my backstage situation Saturday.
Well, yeah.
So
there was, I mean, the first day is always a little rough. And because of our, I'm the only consistent drummer that we have for Sigourney. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the drummer that is there for all of the shows. The rest of it's kind of rotating. And I love all of the other drummers that are rotating through. They're all fantastic, and they always bring something different. But that means I need to be the most consistent.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which can be hard sometimes when you're faced with different drummers doing slightly different things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to do that rock.
You know,
yeah.
Somebody's doing a different role at a different spot or whatever. Or I've got one person that switches between doing a bass part and a doomback part. So yeah, it's but I also love the variety and I love how full it sounds. Like, just having all the different people rotating through is fantastic. But yeah, that means that I can't get sick this season. And it means that, like, instead of having one or two shows to acclimate...
You can still drum when you're sick.
I can't get that sick this season. I can't.
Performer passes out on drum. News at 11.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Mm. But it also means that every show was different on Saturday, which made it harder to acclimate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, first show...
Find your baseline.
First show, we kind of figured things out, and we're like, cool, cool. And then second show, it was different, because I had different people. And I'm like, okay, but we figured this out. No, you weren't there for that, were you? All right, never mind.
It was difficult to find your...
Nope, stop. No, just don't even. No.
Don't. No. No.
Just going to cut you off of the pass right there.
It was hard to get
them off at the pass. Hate that cliche.
It was hard to get into the groove.
Cool.
Good.
So I'm
pleased with how today went.
This is.
I'm not. I feel like I've lowered.
I think this might be interesting. We talked briefly about our sleeping situations, but this is something that a lot of people know about us is we do tent, you know, camp out at the Renaissance Festival during the run.
Not everybody does.
Not everybody
on this podcast.
Not everybody.
Does.
But
we're what we like to call hippies.
But I specifically meant the people on this podcast and many other people. A lot of you have very, you know, you have ideas what camping means. And the thing you have to understand is we live in those tents.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a weekend camping, like, throw your sleeping bag on the ground. Like,
mm-mm.
We live in those things, and we've been doing this, Jenna, for God knows how many years.
I'm 30-something this me year, for, so, yeah.
16 years camping. For me. Yeah, this is some serious
and
shit.
I want to say, it's not glamping.
No.
Some elements that can carry over, but it's not glamping. But, we're not doing it for the white chick suburbanite glamour of it. It is
but because
advanced
camping. Absolutely, but because we do live out there for 7 weeks, you know, and through various, through all the way from 80 degree temps down to, you know,
30 degree temps. I woke up one morning as a kid with snow on the
exactly, ground. You know, so there is a huge range of temperatures and rain and all these yep. other situations. So a great deal of care goes into making sure that our campsites are comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because not only do we have to live out there, but we have to wake up in the morning and be able to move and entertain people. So not having yeah. locked up joints is important, which is something that I've struggled with for many years until we figured out the current bed. So the what I kind of wanted to talk about, we've got a couple 5 minutes here.
Cool.
Just kind of some of the creature comforts
yeah.
that we have. For example, like we talked about the beds, you know, I've got a box spring and a futon
those
mattress.
Those are the most important.
You know,
oh, yeah.
we've got dressers out there. Mm. We have, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a plastic dresser, but we have a dresser yeah. in our tent. We have a platform, a wooden platform that we put our tent on. We encase our tent in a tarp,
yep.
which yeah. means it keeps the rain off of it. It also provides a thermal barrier, which keeps us cool in the heat and warm in the winter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got a like I said, a dresser. We've got a shelf. We've got a collapsible shelf that we
yeah.
put in there.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of things that help us live out there. So I guess, Jay, what
do you do? Well, I'm much like my apartment living situation. I'm out there with two bachelor dudes. I mean, not
so
actually
pizza
bachelor
boxes
dudes.
And empty beers.
Yeah,
but it's
furniture made of pizza
boxes. We have a shelf, a snap together shelf. The top shelf is for me. The next shelf down is for booze, and then the bottom two shelves are for coal and rue. And then I've got, you know, whatever bags I tuck under my cot this mm-hmm. year, which is an advancement, new technology, science. Mm. And the entire wooden platform, because it's the platform that we have is a set of wooden ribs sticking up out of the ground with a plywood platform that's raised.
Mm-hmm.
And
very similar to mine.
And that's it. There's no roof. There aren't any walls, anything like that. And what a lot of people will do is put a tarp over that and a tent inside, which helps yep. to create a sound barrier and privacy mm-hmm. screen and all that kind of stuff.
A front part.
Yep. Instead of doing that, one of the guys found a few billboards that were being traded out.
Oh, and yeah.
And got the billboard canvases, because it's not paper that's up there. They're huge fabric sheets.
Vinyl.
And they're like canvas.
Oh, it's actual
canvas. And they're sealed canvas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he was like,
I've seen vinyl.
How much do you want for these? The guy was like, get them out of here.
Yeah.
So that happened, and
our friends made a yurt out of that.
Turns
fabric.
Out they're mm. gigantic.
Yeah.
So one of those goes around completely, the entire giant platform that fits three queen size sleeping spaces, and the shelf and a door area and a front porch.
Nice.
And the other one just goes across the top and gets strapped down. This year, and then on the platform itself, we use the lock together foam squares to form padding, nice. Which is amazing.
That
and
sounds fantastic.
So it's also really nice when you take your shoes off at the door, you have something clean to walk on, yeah. something comfortable.
Yep,
there's a thermal barrier.
There is a thermal barrier,
too, yeah.
And it's also nice to be able to put your clothing on it and that kind of stuff if you have to while you're getting dressed.
Yep.
And then we've tried a lot of different lighting solutions because we're not hooked up to power.
Right.
And last year we experimented with solar lights, but because of the tree coverage that we have,
right.
we don't get a huge amount of solar energy. So we just installed little tiny tap lights that also have a remote, and they change color.
Fun.
And it's a swing and a bachelor of pad now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jenna, what do you got?
So I actually don't pimp out my tent as much as everybody else does.
Okay.
Although I will say I do, what I do at the beginning of camping is I go to Jacques and I'm like, all right, what do you got for me? Like, I don't have a specific platform that's mine every year. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything like that. And when I get there early enough, I get a platform, and it's fantastic. And this year I got there early enough, and I got a pretty swank platform, actually. It's not plywood. It is, like, decking.
Yeah.
Ooh. It is, like, straight up, and it's got, like, one side is kind of fenced up a little bit. And I share, so, like, my platform and the platform next to it, you know the one I'm talking about.
I want to just, by the way, listeners, the platforms that we're talking about here actually have to be to code if they're above.
Yeah.
Like, I think if they're more than a foot off the ground, they actually have to be up to code. So when Jenna's talking about her platform, it's to code. It's got, like, fucking footings.
Except
and
for those that are grandfathered in. Yeah. Some of those platforms have been out there.
Mine is grandfathered in because mine's been out there since 1970 something.
Yeah. Mine is a newer one. Yeah. And it is.
I just wanted to let people know that when you're talking about a decking, like it's
and
fucking.
I checked, by the way, this motherfucker is level.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, I know. It's incredible. But then the other thing is, so my platform, like, it kind of stretches. It's like two platform spaces in one, almost, with an A-frame in the middle that we can string our tarps from.
Very nice.
And I got to know the people next door. They're JCs. They're fantastic people. So we figured out our tarping situation. And I have a front porch, which hasn't happened in, like, forever. So yeah, like with the tarps, I've got a front porch, so I've got that on the inside, and then the little rug for the shoes outside, so that we don't have to bring the shoes inside at all, which is fantastic. I mean, Jess and I have the cots instead of, like, bags or anything else. We have tubs.
And you remember to shake your shoes out in the morning?
Shake the shoes out in the morning. I remember to make sure there's nothing in them in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily shake it. I just
shake,
like,
your shoes.
But yeah, and we do have a little snake that lives under the
That's
thing.
So cute.
A little baby corn.
Oh, no way.
It's a little baby corn that lives underneath. I know, right? It's so adorable.
You have a little noodle?
It's super adorable.
Oh god.
When my neighbors and I were setting up, they lifted one of the pieces of plywood and there it was, and they just took it and, like, relocated it to the bottom part of the platform, and it's underneath now.
Elise has a tiny baby danger noodle, and it's so cute.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So we do have we do have the pet snake under the under the platform.
Little Nakey head.
There are a couple of things that we do that are swank, though. We don't have any lighting. We're night lookers, and for me, all of my costuming is upstairs. So I don't really worry about
those kinds
of things. Your
tent has windows, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, ours doesn't, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
We wrap ours in a pretty heavy tent, so we need
lighting. Mine's a pretty decent tarp, but we still get a decent amount of light through there. So we do have some mint candles, which are good for helping keep bugs away.
Oh.
That's kind of nice. And yeah, we haven't had any bugs in there yet, so working.
So far.
But the one super luxury that we do have is carpeting.
Yeah.
I found just on the side of the road some carpet last year, and I vacuumed.
There was a body in it.
Sprayed the shit out of it.
That's
and
good.
Got it in. Yeah. But oh my god, just to get out of your cot and put your feet on carpet is the most amazing feeling.
Yup. We have a pile of little area rugs that we bring out and just cover our floor with these little rugs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Although I love the foam thing. That's nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, the carpeting, it's like
made
just
me really
the
nostalgic
thickness.
For chess, by the way.
I believe it. No, the carpet that I have, it's not shag and it's not the super short businessy stuff. It's just the right thickness.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like
soft.
Yeah.
Not, it's not that coarse sandpapery. Thin, short stuff,
The short, stubbly shit, like you just need to shave or something. Yep. Like, yeah.
Okay.
What? What?
Does it match the drapes?
Oh, for fuck's sake. I think we
actually,
need to...
it is the same color as the tent. So, yeah. It's all red. It's all a nice kind of cranberry red.
Does your carpet match your tarps?
Not the tarp, but the dwarves.
I tell you what, if you are a Renaissance Festival performer or a professional camper of some sort,
yeah.
What is your
slightly
unorthodox must-have camping thing?
Yeah.
Like, obviously you need a sleeping bag or something like that, but like, what is the thing that most people don't think of, the camping that you have to have in your tent? Let us know. Send that to feedback@aonpodcast.com because we want to hear that. We're going to take a break now, and then we're going to come back and talk more at your ear hole.
Do the outro.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at aonpodcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we're going to do our outro.
What? The outro.
Indeed. Usually at this point in time, we would say, drink some True Stone coffee. But we already did that. But we're going to say it anyway. Again.
Do it.
The great mind things alike, apparently.
Do it, Jenna. Yeah.
You have amazing breasts.
I know, right?
Call them.
Like, my nipples point outward. It's great.
Call True Stone. Tell them their beans are nice.
Yeah. True Stone, your breasts are amazing. So go to True Stone Coffee.
Hopefully Scott answers.
Oh, yeah.
Go to TrueStoneCoffee.com and use the promo code GREATBREASTS.
What?
Do not do that. Guys, if you do that, you will get 0% off your
salsa. Salsa. Hashtag great breasts.
Hashtag great breasts.
Hashtag hot penis.
What?
You know.
No, just
for
no,
a drink with hot penis.
Just stop.
God damn it.
No, go to True Stone Coffee, use apropos. The promo code apropos, and get 10% off. They deliver the coffee right to your door, and it is awesome. Hey, you guys.
What?
Hey, you guys.
How about a fast five?
Fast five.
Yay!
Oh, that was like all synchronous.
For those of you who do not know how this works, the fast five is two parts. Mm. Part number one, we get 5 A or B choices, and we have to choose what they are, not knowing what the context is whatsoever. We just have to go, yeah, I like that one better, and
James
guess. And then we, then afterwards, we open the second email and find out what the context is for those. You'll figure out how this goes. This week, our Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud.
Yay, Mud!
Oh, hey.
Because his is the only ones we have right now.
So far.
Nobody else has sent any more in. Hint, hint. So, fast five questions. To be or not to be?
To be.
Oh.
Perfect. No, that's not right. That's the theme.
Not to be.
Questions.
That's the theme. Here we go.
Theme.
Question number one.
Buy a boat.
Question number one. Question number one. Joss Whedon. Or Kenneth Branagh.
Who's Kenneth Branagh?
He's a famous Shakespearean actor.
He's.
Oh my God! This is a Much Ado question.
Yeah, yeah. Much Ado. This is absolutely.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
I like that, and that's the one with Emma Thompson. Thompson. Yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale.
Love that one. So which one do I prefer? It's that one.
And
yeah, I'm going to say it's that one too.
If it wasn't for Keanu Reeves.
No, see, I love that.
That would be perfect.
It was the best role for Keanu Reeves.
It was the best role, but even then, it's just so wooden.
Avant and forsooth.
Oh my God.
Wild stallions doth ruleth. I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
The Kenneth Branagh one is just so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate. I appreciate. The Joss Whedon one for what it was and what he was doing and stuff like that, but it did not hold the Kenneth Branagh one.
I don't remember anybody in Much Ado getting stabbed through the chest. Are we sure it's Joss Whedon?
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson. Oh my God.
As Beatrice.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
P.S. Beatrice is pretty much my dream role.
Yeah, I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
She's kind of my dream girl.
My God. Oh,
but just
God.
The bickering just that Beatrice
bickering
and Benedict,
and
yes.
Emma Thompson fucking, and Kenneth Branagh.
But even that, like when the part for me that always makes or breaks Much Ado, because I am so incredibly enamored with Beatrice as a character, is mm-hmm. Beatrice and the Prince when she turns the Prince down. how is that handled by the director and by the characters and what's happening.
Sure.
She does that so fucking beautifully.
Yeah.
It's because Emma Thompson. Well, it's a make or break point for that play for me. Because if she does it flippantly, it like completely dismisses the gravity of what just happened. Mm-hmm. But if you know, take it too seriously, then it's like, well, then why the fuck did you turn down a prince?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
And the way she did it was fucking just perfect.
This kind of slightly pouty but sorrowful but kind of impish.
It was yes, you are delightful, yes, you are fun, mm-hmm. but it's just not a thing that is for me. If you were not in the position you were, yes, but because you are, mm-hmm. I can't, you know, and that's,
she's great.
That fucking moment.
So,
but yeah,
I gotta go watch that too. I do too. Also, Kate Beckinsale's really cute in that movie.
Every movie.
Yeah.
This was the first movie I ever saw her in, and where I fell in love with her.
Yeah. Fuck me.
You know, people sometimes forget that guy is a comedy actor.
Oh my God.
And he fucking killed.
Fucking incredible. Fucking
killed. All right. Question number two. Mel Gibson or Kenneth Branagh? This is a Hamlet one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've seen either of them.
This is gonna make me unpopular with some people, but I really kind of like the Mel Gibson version.
It's better than some that I've seen.
There's something about the Mel Gibson version really just strikes me the right way. I feel like the Kenneth Branagh one was more of a much ado. It was slightly more colorful and not quite as dark and broody, and I feel like the Mel Gibson one had just that level of of dark.
See, my favorite is always going to be one that I saw in an open air theater in Wisconsin, and nothing's ever going to measure.
That is not one of these choices.
Never going to measure.
My favorite is always going to be Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Amen.
I'm going to go with the two
that I've never seen, Kenneth? I guess.
Okay. Branagh?
Just because I know of. Yeah. If I know are the two people.
Because I'm going to go Coyne and.
What are you talking?
What?
All right. Question number three.
I'm vaguely remembering this.
Question number three. Baz Luhrmann or Franco Zeffirelli?
Okay. This is going to be Romeo and Juliet. And they're talking about the Claire Danes and
Leo DiCaprio
version.
Versus the one that everybody saw
in high school
with the nip slip. I gotta go with the classic one.
The classic one is amazing.
I just remember watching I watched the modern one in the movie theater, and we were laughing so hard when we left the movie theater.
Which is the one with Claire Danes?
That's the Baz Luhrmann one.
One.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Because she looked just stupid enough to pull off Juliet. And I love Claire Danes. Like, I think she's phenomenal. But yeah, she played that just stupid enough to be able to get away with that.
I really liked...
John Leguizamo?
John Leguizamo
in
that movie. I thought he was great. But other than that, I just...
He's one of my favorite actors. The
classic one.
Definitely. Plus, I bought the Everyone's Free to Wear Sunscreen Baz Luhrmann collection, which had that, Strictly Ballroom, and a couple of other soundtrack bits on it. And so, sure,
I grew up on the Zeffirelli, Romeo and Juliet, and the Elizabeth Taylor Taming of the Shrew.
Mm.
Those were the two that I grew up on, and those. Oh, by the way. Elizabeth Taylor, Taming of the Shrew, that's a fucking great movie, too.
Pause. I have actually gotten to play Katerina.
Nice.
It was a Philip Andrew Bennett Low short.
Nice.
Taming of a Bikini Shrew.
It
was Taming of the Shrew, 50s beach style.
Nice. Oh, my God.
So we were all in bathing suits. And the opening scene... like the two guys are chatting, the opening for Katarina and Bianca coming in, I had a whip. I was in a bikini and like thigh-high boots.
Wow.
I was very like
bondage shit going on.
Started off dominatrixy and then I was in a bikini. See, and thigh-high boots.
I thought it was great.
I had a whip.
Here I was.
Anyway, yeah.
10 years old, 15 years old, watching the Elizabeth Taylor one.
Sure.
And I'm watching Shakespeare. And we get to the wasp scene. And I'm sitting there going, I am watching oral sex puns in Shakespeare. And it's hilarious.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And why doesn't anybody else like Shakespeare? What the fuck?
I did not so for a long time.
Oh,
it took if I be waspish, best be where my sting.
The answer would be to pluck it out then. Aye, if one can find where it lies.
If the fool can find
yes. Well, who knows not where one lies? In his tail.
In his tongue.
What, with my tongue in your tail?
Yes. Oh my God, that's the best fucking line ever.
Such a great.
Oh, yeah.
Question number four. Read or watch? I gotta go watch. As much as I like Shakespeare,
it really depends on who's doing it.
Also,
if assuming it's done well, then yeah, I definitely want to watch it.
When I'm reading it, I have a hard time because usually when I'm reading something, I'm reading thing and I'm picturing it happen as as it goes along. And with Shakespeare, just because of the pacing and everything like that, by the time I get to the next line and the next line, I've already kind of lost the thread of
It's so full of allusions and
I need to hear it.
Sure.
I need to hear the words being said because then I can hear the phrase and the back and forth without losing the thread of what's happening.
It's interesting to me because I'm not much of an audio person. Of an aural? Aural person? Like, I don't listen. I don't listen to podcasts
because
I can't keep up with what's going on just by sound.
Sure.
Reading, I do better. But again, like we were saying with Shakespeare, I love the visual. Being able to watch it, I can see the back and forth as opposed to needing to picture it, which I can do, but it becomes that much more clear when I have both of those concepts together.
One of the things that I was always taught, this also goes back to like Chaucer, is one of the things they say is when you're reading Chaucer, read it out loud to yourself.
Sure.
Because
when you can hear it, then it makes a lot more sense as opposed to trying to parse it.
I had to do that with Beowulf.
Yeah,
and the Gilgamesh
exactly,
epics.
And I feel the same way with Shakespeare. Even when I'm reading it out loud because then you can hear it happening. So,
right.
Question number five: traditional or modernization?
Oh, by the way, I say watch.
Oh, okay, cool. Sorry.
Yeah. Traditional or modernization? Traditional.
It really kind of depends on the modernization.
I love all interpretations. The thing is, and that's the great thing about Shakespeare, is you so many different interpretations.
One of my favorite movies is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Okay.
It's so good.
I
misunderstood
what
they meant by modernization.
And maybe you didn't, though, is the thing. Like, if you're thinking of the Romeo and Juliet modernization one, like,
no, I was thinking like the opposite page in some copies of the scripts, it will have the original text, and then it will have the modern day translation of things.
Yeah,
and I've seen people put on the modern day translation, which is okay.
No,
but it's really not.
No, if that's what it is. Then no, not that.
Yeah,
but if it is the 10 Things I Hate About You, I feel is one of the best representations of the essence of Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
That I've ever seen. Taming of a Bikini Shrew aside.
And it's an amazing, amazing film.
Yeah.
On its own merit.
Oh God, it's one of my guilty. I'm gonna go home and watch that. It
what
is
are they
one
serving
my,
in the cafeteria today?
I think I'm gonna go traditional.
I probably am, but
yeah, like I love both. I feel like a good modernization is gonna reach more people for nowadays, and that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love traditional in its own sense, though.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's. I feel like you're going to get the spirit across better in a modernization if you do it right. I think some people
But that's
do,
always the trick, especially yeah. with Shakespeare.
Yeah, and I think some people do a modernization of Shakespeare just to say they did a fucking modernization yeah. of Shakespeare. Oh, look at me, I'm classy. I understand.
Well, it's the same kind of thing that you get with the super traditional and like the very bad Shakespearean bluster, avant forsooth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if that's fucking Jean-Luc Picard doing it, then I would watch the shit out
oh,
of it.
Oh, well, yes, but that's because I would watch him read
right,
the phone
so
book.
So you're going traditional, or?
I would watch him just
yeah,
stare.
Yeah, I'd go traditional.
Oh, God, that's hard for me.
I would say traditional.
I mean, we're talking Shakespeare, so yes.
Because like, for me,
I have a bit
you
of
can
boner.
Modernize the mm-hmm. visual aspect of it. And still leave
but
the
essence
text.
Of it you want traditional.
Yeah.
Okay. Jenna?
I'm going to say it really... It does come down to me as to what gets the spirit of the story across the best. And I think that for today's audiences, modern is the more likely way to do it. So I'm going to go modern.
Okay.
That's fair. Keeping
Natalie.
It alive is more important than keeping it... exact.
Old English,
all right. Yeah. Now we go to the context, and Mud starts out with Sonnet 18. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Question number one, Joss Whedon or Kenneth Branagh, whose version of Much Ado do you prefer?
Hey, good call.
We got it.
Yep. Question number two, Mel Gibson or Kenneth Branagh, who was a better Hamlet?
I think that's a slightly different question,
and I am going to change it to Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Kenneth Branagh.
I liked the Mel Gibson movie,
sure,
as a whole,
the
better,
tone of the film.
But I think Kenneth Branagh was a better Hamlet.
Agreed.
Jenna,
I didn't see either.
Okay,
of them,
fair
so
enough.
It's
because he doesn't have that bluster again.
But I said Kenneth, so I'll stick with Kenneth.
All right.
Why
not? Question number three. Just
the correct answer.
Just as we thought, whose version of Romeo and Juliet do you prefer? Kent Baz Luhrmann or Franco Zeffirelli? I'm going with Zeffirelli.
What was it again? Sorry.
Romeo and
whose
Juliet.
Version of Romeo and Juliet do you prefer?
Yeah.
Luhrmann or Zeffirelli?
The one with
I'm probably mispronouncing.
I mean...
The Baz Luhrmann one.
Okay. The thing is, I didn't get to see the Romeo and Juliet that everybody saw in high school until much later. So, they showed the Much Ado About Nothing with Kenneth Branagh.
Jessa just saw that in high school.
So instead of watching Romeo and Juliet, we watched Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
And then Fried Green Tomatoes.
Which is also fun.
So there you go. But yeah, I'll go with the best.
Question number four, read or watch? Would you rather read a Shakespearean play or watch it acted out? I would rather watch.
I'd rather watch it.
Watch it acted out is an important distinction.
I agree.
And I would
entirely.
Much rather see it acted out well.
Yeah.
Speak the speech, I pray
specifically
you.
A play. I would like to see a play more than a movie.
Yes.
But...
100%.
Question number five, traditional or modernization? Do you prefer Shakespeare to be traditional or an updated retelling?
Yeah, which was, yeah.
Which I think gets kind of what into what you were talking about using modern language.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or it might be more of the...
Just a modern setting.
Yeah. Because there are kind of a shocking number of Shakespeare... redux kind of the essence of the story being told but well, told in,
like 10 things
I Hate About You and others Warm Bodies or not yes Warm Bodies is a retelling of Romeo and Juliet. It's a zombie movie,
huh?
It's a zombie movie, and this this zombie falls in love with a human girl who's the daughter of the head of the existing human civilization, and that kind of thing. So it's a decent film. Like I would say, like a 7 out of 10.
Did anybody see O?
I didn't. Nope. I want to.
That's really what good. Is O? I recommend. Othello. O is Othello.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's except instead of Iago, it's Hugo, and that's played by
Gilbert Gottfried, Josh, who plays Iago and everything.
He's from Minnesota.
Josh Brolin.
No, not Brolin. Josh.
Barrowman?
Huh?
Barrowman?
No.
Was it the same Josh that is in Lucky Number 11?
Yes.
Josh.
This is delightful. I have no idea.
Josh
Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett, yes.
Josh Hartnett is Hugo instead of Iago. Okay. Odin instead of Othello is played by Mekhi Phifer. And instead of Othello's wife, it's his girlfriend, played by Julia Stiles.
Julia Stiles.
But it takes place in high school, and like Othello is a basketball star as opposed to a like war hero.
Yeah,
and Hugo is jealous of him and his popularity in high school and stuff like that. Okay. But it's a really actually really good movie. I recommend watching it. But anyway,
Lion King.
I mean,
also that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I have a quick question because he did start this off with a sonnet. What's your guys' favorite sonnet? Do you have one?
I'm not really a sonnet guy. I don't think I could think of a single sonnet off the top of my head.
I have a favorite thing from Shakespeare. It's from Titus Andronicus.
Okay.
Where he's approached by the two young men and their mother who are portraying the forces of revenge, rapine, and murder. And they are seeking to put his spirit at rest because he's like a crazy, raving madman after all of these terrible things have happened to him and to his daughter as a result, direct result of things that they're doing to him. And so they're just doing this to torture him further. And he goes off on this rant about how they should go and find people that look exactly, weirdly like you guys. Murder, rapine, and revenge, and you should do terrible things to them because they've been terrible to me and to my family. And then he bakes one of them into a pie and makes their mother eat it and murders the other one. And it's amazing. It's an extraordinarily dark play, but the one that I saw was a Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, the Anthony Hopkins
as
really good
as Titus.
Okay.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Really good version.
Those were your work pants.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
but I couldn't.
No?
But
hold a gun to my head. I could not recite a
sonnet.
Shakespeare sonnet.
Do you have a Shakespeare moment?
I already said it. It's the whole oral sex joke just so good. It's so funny.
The player's speech from Hamlet is really good.
Oh god, the player's speech from Hamlet is good.
Because it's also just good advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like the Prince Beatrice and the Prince moment that I talked about earlier. My favorite sonnet, I believe, is number 29. My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. If hair be wires, black wires grow on her head. because it's talking about it. Yeah, you guys are like basically idolizing these chicks, whatever, blah, 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 and comparing them to all this other stuff. But here's a real person, and I love this person who is real, and I love that. I absolutely love that.
That reminds me of someone.
Dear listener, what is your favorite Shakespearean sonnet? Or if not sonnet, just moment in a Shakespeare play of any sort. We should probably get my wife to weigh in on this one.
That would be good.
Being an English teacher.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
She might know a thing or two.
That is our week. We are going to come back to you next week talking about more Renaissance Festival stuff, I'm sure, because that is going to be our lives for
a while. We're sorry, but we're not that.
Get used to it. Come out to the Renaissance Festival. Yeah. Come say hi. Do that.
Yes, please.
Otherwise, in the meantime.
I mean, I won't be anywhere visible ever. True. But, you know.
Unless you go to the feast.
Yeah, go to the feast. Oh my God, the feast is so much fun. Go to the Sunday 2 o'clock feast. Because then you can see myself and salsa.
To paraphrase something that Marie Antoinette did not say, let them eat the fucking cake.
Yeah, good night.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Making the noise in the microphone.
Making a little more noise into the microphone.
I'm going to make some noise into the microphone, but it's going to fuck with all of your levels anyway, so...
Yay! Eh.